Rick Horrell, our sports business guru, is joining us from parts unknown. I wonder where he is today. We'll find out. Rick, Pete Shepard, Chris in the house as well. Craig's on vacation. How are you doing, Rick?
Parts unknown is South Florida, where it's the weather is continually awful. But I looked at the radar, not as bad as yours. I mean, you get rain every day now.
Well, you're on the East Coast. Where are you, on the East Coast?
Yeah, I'm on the East Coast, but I'm going Tuesday to Belfast and going to do 36 a day, and then the Open, and then to Copenhagen for a couple of days do speeches. So that's next Tuesday. I just got to get through the weekend of watching Wimbledon and being excited about all that stuff. So that's where I am. That's what I'm doing.
Wow. Well, geez, that's not really much. Geez. So we're going to the British Open. I still call it the British Open. Sorry. And then you're going to Denmark. That's awesome.
Right. Yeah.
Have you been to Copenhagen before?
Denmark.
Have you been to Copenhagen? Yeah.
Yeah. Copenhagen has a bunch of companies that are interested in developing larger sports global business. So they've asked me to speak at a convention and part of the payment gets me halfway across the Atlantic, and then I'll walk the rest of the way or swim across the North Sea.
Excellent. All right, Rick, U.S. Yeah. Women's National Team beats the Netherlands on Sunday 2-0, defends their title, yada, yada, yada. And the big story that seemed to overshadow this is about equal pay. I think a lot of people, Rick, do not understand the big picture of the difference between FIFA, U.S. Soccer Federation. Where do you stand on all of this, and do you think there is a chance for the U.S. Women's National Team to get equal pay like the men do?
Well, as you said, it's hard to define what that means, because equal based on what? So, there is, if it's equal based on respective professional leagues, the women's leagues are woefully inadequate, and sponsors don't pay for those, and waiting for those to happen won't be happening overnight, and plus, that's not the jurisdiction of the U.S. Soccer Federation. They're putting on the events, and they're the ones that are responsible for the World Cup. And as you said, you really can't say that the men bring in that much money from a global soccer perspective in the U.S. because that's not just the World Cup. That's MLS and other things. Plus, you have FIFA, who is not the body that will determine whether the women get a significant increase in payment. They'll provide a lump sum to the U.S. Soccer Federation, and they'll distribute it. Now, I'm assuming that part of this mediation process means that even if they're not legally entitled to receive a certain amount, they are politically entitled now. And I can't believe that the U.S. Soccer Federation is going to do anything less than what's fair. What's fair? I don't know, but it sure is a hell of a lot more than it is today.
No question about it. What did you think about how it all played out, Megan Rapinoe, and she's been very vocal, outspoken, not just against the president, but overall. It seems to me that some of the, not just the soccer team, but sports talk shows, locally, regionally, nationally, but just don't understand economics well enough to be talking about this logically.
Well, but that never stops talk shows from talking.
Well, that's true.
You know that.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I don't. There are a lot of issues here. The women need to be paid more. Megan Rapinoe is a corporate endorsement superstar. Whether it is mainstream or off the beaten track, I think it's more mainstream, frankly, that she transcended because of not only what kind of athlete she is, but she's got a personality, and the fact that she's gay is irrelevant to me and to most, hopefully most marketers as well. And when you think about it, they've had an amazing ride. Alex Morgan and Megan Rapinoe will be the endorsement superstars of this deal, and she'll make a lot of money. Unfortunately, corporate appetite for women's soccer is still not there, and I'm afraid if we talk in a month, we're going to see lower attendance in the professional leagues, because let's just remember, this was an incredible team as a team, but when they go disperse around the respective teams in the women's the WPSL, it's not the same team, kind of like what the World Cup did when they came back, except there is a more established league that mixes international stars called the MLS. So there are a lot of differences here, and you can't lump them together.
I mean, they're going to get a boost, but ESPN, I feel like they're doing this out of what they think is politically correct. I think they're throwing money away. They're going to try and televise, what, 14 to 15 women's and the women's soccer games, the professional league, the national NWSL or whatever it's called. It's going to get a nice bump right now. But when they start playing these games, I remember when I was back in Boston, Rick, and Mia Hamm, and they had won then. And she was doing she was on the women's team. I think they played at Nickerson Field at BU. I mean, it was a nice niche for a little bit. They're not only getting 1,000 people, then it just kind of, a couple thousand, and then it just kind of drifted away. I mean, if you were running ESPN, are you going to televise any of these women's soccer games? Are you going to make money off of that? That's what it's about. It's about making money, not doing the politically correct thing.
No, that's fair, but when you think of some of the stuff that ESPN covers, okay, and I'm not just talking about on one, I'm talking about on two, on U, on News,
yes,
on three, on Plus. When you look at all that stuff, there's a lot of stuff, including the United Soccer League, and they have 2,000 people in on the men's side, and so there's enough real estate to put this on the air, and you never know what a sponsor is willing to do to kick it off early on. Now, I agree with you, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, it's not going to be as much of a moneymaker, I think, as most people think. But, you know, I'm applauding the experiment. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, and believe me, and I've said this before on the air, I am stunned by some of the games that ESPN sends out in college basketball. I mean, no one is watching Eastern Michigan on any of their platforms play Toledo on a Tuesday night at 9, yet they send crews out there. And to me, it's like pissing money away. I really don't get it. I don't understand it sometimes.
Well, I do know this, that in the, you know, what is it, Toledo Blade Boulevard? You know that they're you. There are a whole bunch of Toledo alums. So I'm going to give all of the people that are listening your home number, and they're going to show up tonight. How about that?
That's fine. If they can get through the gate, that would be fine. They're not on the list.
Hey,
you're on the list actually from Play and Go, but
All right. So all right, forget it.
You can come by anytime you want.
Your name is when you think of all the real estate that ESPN has, there's room for stuff that we may not want to watch all the time, and so that doesn't mean you don't put them on. There are these deals that they have with the respective conferences, and I'm sure most of the games lose. And do they pick it up in the big games? Yeah, of course they do. That's the sweet part about having 3-4 networks and 2 streaming ones.
Well, let's talk about something a little even. The Cleveland hosting the MLB All-Star Game impacted the city's economy. I thought it was a great couple of days. I really lost interest in the Home Run Derby. However, I did watch, and I was enthralled with the semifinals. Obviously, what happened with Pete Alonso and Vlad Guerrero Jr., that the final round, the one before that. And the game itself, I thought, you know, lived up to expectations. It was exciting. Bieber getting the MVP. But overall, your thoughts on the city of Cleveland and how the last couple of days went down?
Man, Bieber morphed into, you know, a great boy band singer, and all of a sudden he strikes out the side. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's a different Bieber. Anyway, listen, the $65 million of economic impact, right, and more important than that, 2,000 journalists, which means that they covered this event as a mega event in a growing city as opposed to the mistake by the lake. And what the proof in the pudding is, you know, a year and a half from now, the NFL draft comes to Cleveland / Canton for the Hall of Fame area as well to in that June, May, and then 2022, the NBA All-Star Game. So Cleveland, in a very short period of time, becomes a host of mega events, and that's a good thing for them.
All right, if you were on, and you heard Justin Verlander's comments, the juice balls, I think we all agree, you know, there's definitely, they're on a record pace, unlike anything I've ever seen. I mean, a couple of years ago it was close, but this is going to obliterate that. If you were, say, on his, just an advisory committee for Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball, that owns Rawlings, what would you say to him about this situation?
I don't think anybody can hide behind the fact that I don't know what it is. We'll figure it out. There has to be some logical explanation for it. And if it meant that because Rawlings had some aerodynamic changes this year that caused the ball to go a little further, I don't mind that. And frankly, if we understand that every year there is a little bit of a variation, 3%, 4%, that'll give some credibility to the statistics. Let's assume we're at the end of September. Let's assume Yelich has, 66.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's possible. And so what happens with the purists who are arguing that the, you know, the non-asterisks, the 70 home runs, the guys that were in that, the Sosa, I know they have asterisks anyway, but, you know, what do you do with the juice ball? Well, I think you need to deal with that controversy sooner than later by saying there are always variations. This batch may be a little more lively, but there's always a variance of 2 or 3%. If that's true, you know, you got to get that out there as opposed mm-hmm. to just saying, I don't know.
And I do think, home runs are nice. Everybody likes offense in sports. I get it. But I just don't know if this is helping the game all that much. I mean, attendance is going to be down once again for the third straight year. Some of the bigger cities, some of the bigger markets, it's doing okay. The teams are in contention. But it's dropping. Still not a lot of balls in play. Still way too long in between pitches, in my opinion. Games are taking longer. It's the same old thing. I was talking about this the other day, Rick, about I don't know if you're ever going to be able to get the 8 to 15-year-old passion for the game back that I used to have and others where because, you're not collecting baseball cards anymore, you don't know the stats of every team, it's just everything doesn't happen fast enough. I don't know.
There's no better time than now, meaning look at all the young guys that are bursting through with Alonso and Guerrero and everybody else on the team. This is the youngest All-Star game we've had of players in a long time. So if Major League Baseball doesn't use that as an opportunity to inspire millennials based on the young kids breaking in, then it does get worse and worse. So let's hope they do it.
All right, let's talk about something fun here. The Minnesota Vikings, their owners, right? Mark and Ziggy Wilf, right?
Yes.
They're investing in esports through the Call of Duty franchise. What's that all about?
Well, they're attempting to try to generate some money from esports like everybody else does. The NBA does it a different way because they're all buying teams and putting it under their own brand. The Celtics started it and then the Wizards and everybody else. And the NFL is a little slower defining how you should do it. So the Wilfs are saying, we'll do it the way we want to do it. And Call of Duty is a very active esport franchise, so let's figure out how we can capture it for the Vikings. There will be other teams that'll try to figure it out too. You know, the biggest upside of esports is it's growing faster than any other thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
The downside is you really don't know who is the core of the deal. Meaning, it's like the Wild West. NBA has teams, a lot of individual leagues. Fortnite is carrying the day, but. You know, who's the commissioner and how does that all work? And as long as that's still out there, nobody really knows what to buy. So like any good businessman, you're diversifying and then you're gambling that it's the right operation.
All right, Rick, thanks so much. Once again, always enjoy talking to you every weekend. So you're going to Ireland now. You're gonna golf and you're going to the Open.
Yeah, and for the IRS, I'm working hard, okay? working really, really, really hard. Then I'll be in Boston. So when I get back, we'll talk about doing something. Maybe the next week I'll be at Patriots camp, and I can spy for you.
Oh, that sounds. Well, I don't like using that. That spy word doesn't go over
well.
Yeah,
of course you don't. The Eagles don't either, by the way.
Or everybody else in the league, but that's another discussion for another time. All right, Rick, enjoy. Have fun on European tour.
All right, see you next week. Bye.
All right, talk soon. All right, that's Rick Horro, Sports Business Guru. He's great. Great stuff.